Welcome to Food Neighbourhoods on Monocle 24. I'm Gaia Lutz. All cities have areas the locals love for their food and drink offerings. And in this series, we get to know these places. Today, we head to Melbourne. Locals sometimes refer to the eastern end of Victoria Street as Little Saigon. The inner city motorway is the epicenter of the city's Vietnamese community. And, as a result, is famous for its authentic Southeast Asian cuisine. These days, however, there's more to Victoria Street than just noodles and rice paper rolls. It has become a melting pot of minimalist cafes, renovated pubs and breweries. To talk us through this change and sample some of the best dishes on Victoria Street, we turn to Monocle's Melbourne correspondent, Adrian Craddock.
When I first moved to Melbourne in 2014, I rented an apartment near one of the city's most notorious thoroughfares, Victoria Street. I actually remember being a little bit scared at the time. You see, the road has a bit of a reputation for seedy characters and drug crimes. It's not uncommon to see police cars cruising up and down, searching for drunks and troublemakers. After a while, though, I fell in love with the place. I came to realise that Victoria Street is the spine of a vibrant neighbourhood with incredible food. There are authentic Asian restaurants, welcoming old pubs, and beautifully designed cafes. In short, the street is a little bit like a microcosm of Melbourne's most appealing foods, one that few tourists bother to visit. I discovered that if you can handle the rough edges of the place, you're guaranteed to find something fresh, cheap and delicious. Victoria Street's on the border of two old working class suburbs, Richmond and Abbotsford. Back in the 50s and 60s, the area was full of Italian and Greek immigrants who'd fled war-torn Europe. These days, though, the demographic has changed. The street's now most associated with people from Southeast Asia, particularly Vietnam. This group first settled along Victoria Street in the mid-1970s. Back then, they'd just escaped from the Vietnam War and were keen to carve out a place that felt like home. That's why today, if you walk along the entire length of Victoria Street, you're intermittently hit with the sweet smell of incense and the sound of Vietnamese pop. When the Vietnamese came to Victoria Street, they also brought their food. The sight of fluorescent lit bakeries is common along the road. These places specialise in banh mi, a particular kind of meat-filled sandwich that's popular all over Saigon. Popular fillings include crispy pork belly, carrot, fresh coriander, and pork pâté. The bread is nearly always baguette, which the Vietnamese adopted from their former colonisers, the French. The whole thing might sound a little strange, but it works beautifully. My favourite banh mi place is probably Nu Lan Bakery. Every lunchtime, tradesmen and students flock in. The vegetables and meats they use are particularly fresh. One word of warning though, be careful about asking for chilies. Like most banh mi places, Nu Lan uses coarsely chopped bird's eye chilies. They can wreak havoc on the inexperienced. Of course, banh mi isn't the only Vietnamese food on offer along Victoria Street. There's also plenty of restaurants serving pho, a hearty Vietnamese soup with noodles and aromatic herbs. One of the most popular establishments is Hung Vong. This restaurant's operated on the street for a long time and has a very casual atmosphere. The menu is pleasingly short. For just 10 Australian dollars, you can order a bowl of fragrant broth with rare beef slices sitting on top. Or for the same price, chicken. If you're feeling really adventurous though, there's also the option of tripe and tendons. It comes with a side of lemon slices and fresh bean shoots. If Vietnamese food isn't really your thing, there are still plenty of options to have a great meal on Victoria Street. In fact, if you wander up to the very top, you'll find what I believe is Melbourne's best Thai restaurant. It's called Jinda Thai, and it's housed inside an old warehouse. The food ranges from safe favourites such as pad thai and curries to super authentic regional dishes. The restaurant's boat noodles are particularly famous. The dish is thickened with pork blood and comes in a variety of styles. The soft-shell crab on green papaya salad is also a winner. I have to admit though, I haven't tasted it in a while. I used to be a regular at Jinda Thai, but over the last few years, the secret has gotten out. It can be difficult to get a table if you haven't booked a few days in advance. The good news though, is that the owners have just opened up a new place around the corner. It's called Onida Cafe, and it specializes in traditional Thai breakfasts. Speaking of breakfasts, I've noticed that a growing number of cafes have opened along Victoria Street in recent years. A combination of cheap rent and access to great Asian grocers has facilitated the trend. If I'm honest though, it's hard to know how to feel about it all. There is a risk that these new establishments could drastically change the character of Victoria Street. On the other hand, a few of them are beautifully designed and serve unique food. Take a new place called Hollow, for example. Sure, it might seem more at home in the trendier suburbs of Fitzroy or Collingwood, but it's hard to argue with the quality of their menu. The cafe specialises in food that's light and healthy, with breakfast options that include white truffled eggs and avocado on toast. The fit-out is also unusual. It's built around an abundance of indoor plants and custom-built furniture. It's the perfect place for a quiet cup of coffee or a midweek business meeting. In general, Victoria Street feels less Asian the further you walk away from the city. In fact, once you cross the 78 tram line, it can feel like a different road altogether. Suddenly there are factories and warehouses all around. There are kitchenware shops, furniture sellers, and printers. But perhaps the most prominent building up this end is the Carlton Brewhouse, Australia's largest operational brewery. It's responsible for producing beer brands that are drunk all across the country, including Victoria Bitter, Carlton Draft, and Pure Blonde. It is possible to do a tour of the facility, but if you're just interested in sampling some of the brewery's products, I'd suggest heading to the National Hotel. It's an old Victorian-era pub that's undergone an impressive renovation. The beer garden is comfortable, and on Wednesday nights, the kitchen serves sticky lamb ribs with mulled wine. Walking away from the National Hotel and further east down Victoria Street, it's easy to start losing interest. There are more signs of industry, bathroom shops, tire retailers, and an old vinegar factory with a blinking neon sign on the top. The culinary surprises of Victoria Street, however, aren't over. Near the very end of the road, near an IKEA outlet and an enormous residential development, is an inconspicuous path that leads down to one of Melbourne's best-kept secrets. It's a place that I used to come to a lot when I first arrived in the city, a patch of greenery called Yarra Bend. The experience of entering the place is uncanny. Suddenly you go from a busy urban environment into unadulterated nature. It feels almost like you've landed in the wild. Well, sort of. There is a super chic cafe down there called Kitty Burns. It sells everything from custard apple porridge to crab omelettes, and has an award-winning interior. There's also a small coffee stand out the front with al fresco seating. I've spent a lot of Saturday mornings here, reading the paper and taking in the trees. I have to admit though, I never stay for too long. As I sip my coffee, I can't help but think about what I'm going to have for lunch. And then I get hungry and start walking up towards the city again.
That was Adrian Craddock. This was episode number 12 of Food Neighbourhoods. For more food and drink stories, tune in to The Menu every Friday at 1900 hours London time. I'm Gaia Lutz. Thank you for listening and goodbye.